All right, welcome to the special weekend update edition of Brighttown Broadcast News. I'm Mike Adams, and this is Saturday, November 16th, 2024. And the reason that I'm bringing you this today is because we have breaking news that has fulfilled one of my predictions about what would happen post-election, and that is that the Democrats have announced they are going to launch their own shadow government. It's a parallel government where they will recognize their own chosen leaders, but not Trump, and not Trump's picks. So I want to play this video for you that's been circulating online. It's only about 2 minutes, but it explains this, so you don't think I'm making this up. But you may recall that I predicted this exact thing, that if Trump won, the Democrats would refuse to embrace it or recognize it. And then, well, there's more to this prediction. We'll cover that after we watch this video. So take a look.
If Trump attempts to weaponize the justice system against his political opponents with Matt Gaetz at the helm, we could see incoming Senator Adam Schiff as our shadow attorney general, arguing against replacing our independent prosecutors with Trump loyalists. If Trump seeks to eliminate the Department of Education, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, a former Teacher of the Year, could step up as shadow education secretary to loudly defend public education in the United States. If Trump orders Marco Rubio to hand Ukraine and much of Eastern Europe to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Congressman Greg Meeks, as shadow secretary of state, could be a strong voice in support of maintaining international relationships and protecting democracy at home and abroad. Senator Michael Bennet as shadow treasury secretary, and Congresswoman Susan DelBene as shadow commerce secretary could help ensure the middle class and small businesses have a voice in government and call out Trump's proposed tax cuts for billionaires and corporations. As shadow defense secretary, Congressman Adam Smith, a great representative for the people of Washington and not a Fox News host, could counter Trump's threat to use military force against his political opponents and work to ensure that the Department of Defense stays loyal to the Constitution and not some wannabe dictator. And Senator Tammy Duckworth could argue against cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs that would delay the benefits and care our service members have so rightly earned. If Trump hands over the EPA to big oil ally Lee Zeldin, we could see Congresswoman Kathy Castor pushing back for environmental protection and conservation to protect the air we breathe and the water we drink. And if Trump pushes to ban abortion nationwide, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro could step in as shadow Secretary of Health and Human Services to defend women's right to choose and argue against the gutting of Medicare by Trump and his cronies. Mr. Speaker, new times require new solutions. The shadow cabinet isn't just about opposing extreme MAGA attacks on our government. It's also about making clear what we stand for, not just what we're against.
All right, so there you go. There we have the details of the proposal from the Democrats. They themselves call it a shadow government. I mean, amazing. They're saying that they will have Adam Schiff, who is a treasonous traitor. And Adam Schiff should be prosecuted for his treason, but he's going to be the attorney general of the Democrats. So if Matt Gaetz is confirmed as AG under Trump, the Democrats will say that Matt Gaetz is not the attorney general, just like they say that men need tampons or men can have babies or men can become women. They will also say, well, our attorney general is Adam Schiff. And then they'll say that, you know, Johanna Hayes is their education secretary of the shadow government. This is an entire shadow cabinet. The secretary of state, or the shadow secretary of state, will be Greg Meeks. And of course, it's really interesting that they use the term shadow, because they operate in the shadows. They are of the shadow. Shadow is darkness, right? I mean, you all know, many of you know Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And, you know, this is one of the Psalms that I've covered in my sermons, by the way. And shadow is, of course, used by God and by his prophets and by the angels throughout the Bible to indicate Satanism, darkness, evil, wickedness. So it's no surprise when the Democrats step forward and say they're going to form a shadow government. It's a government of Satanism and wickedness and evil. They even say they're going to have Rosa DeLauro as the shadow head of Health and Human Services in order to protect abortions. Right. So they need a shadow HHS, not RFK Jr., but rather this DeLauro character, so they can make sure that they can keep murdering babies, because that's exactly what Satanists would do, obviously. It's now what's missing from this list, even though they have a, let's see, they have a shadow Treasury Secretary and they have a shadow Defense Secretary. They did not mention who is their shadow president. Of course, that has been Obama. That's been the shadow president behind the scenes running the Biden administration for the last 4 years. But who's going to be their shadow president? Now, this term shadow also, by the way, if you've heard any of my 101 Bible sermons that I've published so far, and I think you will find them very interesting. You can find them, by the way, at abundance.church. If you want to go to that website, just type abundance.church into your browser address bar. You know, instead of .com, it's .church, abundance.church. And you'll find that I've given sermons about shadow food versus God's food. So shadow food is mankind's synthetic, artificial processed food that lacks substance, it lacks nutrition. Whereas God's food is natural, you know, Mother Nature's natural medicine, it's the freshly grown food, it's the food from your garden. And it's also superfoods, and it's herbs, and it's wild foods, and it's the foods provided by God. That's real food. What you buy in the grocery store in the packaged food aisle with the crackers and the boxes and everything, that's shadow food. And I've said the same thing about, you know, medicine. So mankind's synthetic medicine with pharmaceuticals, that's shadow medicine. Whereas, you know, real medicine, God's medicine, comes from herbs and plants and you know, sometimes other substances, but from the natural world. And I've also talked about shadow money versus God's money. Shadow money is the dollar. It's an artificial fiat currency construct that's counterfeited every day. And it turns out, by the way, over $2 trillion in debt has been added just in the U.S. here in the last 6 months. And we've just surpassed $36 trillion in debt. How about that? And so within the next 6 months, that'll be $38 trillion, if not sooner. But that's shadow money. Or what is real money? Real money is gold and silver, because that's God's, well, those are God's elements. It's on the table of elements, which is an expression of the laws of physics, atomic nuclei, you know, electrons and protons and neutrons and subatomic particles. Well, that's all from the mind of God. So gold and silver are God's money. Dollars are shadow money. Well, the Democrats want a shadow government, and they've announced it. Now, on top of this, by the way, Democratic governors in states like Illinois and Colorado have announced that they're going to, quote, form a new alliance. It's called the Governors Safeguarding Democracy, GSD. GSD. I guess since DEI is about to be clobbered, they've got to come up with something new. They claim they're safeguarding democracy by ignoring the will of the voters in this election. But of course, you know, of course, Democrats don't believe in democracy at all. They despise it. But they claim they're going, well, they issued a statement and they said they're going to leverage their unique legislative budgetary. I'm sorry. Anytime the governor of Illinois talks about budgetary issues, we all have to laugh or puke. But budgetary, executive, and administrative powers to deliver results for the American people. Oh, yeah. Like, you mean results like illegals overrunning Chicago or illegals overrunning Denver? Yeah. we've already seen the results of Democrats running things, and it's a horror show. But Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois and Jared Polis of Colorado. They've launched this, and they're going to try to bring in other governors of other states. Gavin Newsom, he's announced a special session in California with to address the Trump victory, and he says in advance that Trump threatens California. And so we're already starting to see the first steps and the first announcements of the parallel government. And where this is going, if that is, if Trump allows it, and we'll talk about that in a second, but where this is going is that the Democrats will elect or just appoint, who am I kidding? They don't believe in elections. They didn't even elect Kamala. They'll just appoint their own president, and they'll call that person their shadow president. I mean, they're not even hiding this. They'll just say, our shadow president is, you know, Hillary Clinton or whatever. And then they'll come up with their own shadow laws. They'll have their own shadow attorney general, which will launch investigations. And that shadow attorney general, which let's just call it a fake AG, will be recognized by the Democrat states, the blue states. And the fake president will be recognized by the blue states as well, which they've had a lot of practice at that because that's what they've done for the last 4 years in recognizing Biden, who did not win the 2020 election. So, in other words, the entire Biden administration was a shadow government. So the Democrats are very familiar with this process. In fact, that's all they know how to run is a shadow government and shadow elections and rigged outcomes. So this is very familiar to them. But if this continues, they are going to separate from the United States of America. This is the beginning of secession. Now, you may recall that I've had long-standing predictions going back many, many years, maybe 6 or 7 years. I've forgotten exactly how far back. But I've been predicting that the United States of America, as we know it, will cease to exist by the end of 2025. And today, the Democrats have basically just said that they're putting us exactly on that track, that sometime in Trump's first year, the Democrats are going to split off and recognize their own shadow government, which means they will reject the Trump administration. They will reject the rule of law, of course, which is, I mean, they reject that anyway, every day. Now, on top of this, this is going to get interesting. Several governors of several Democrat states, I think Maryland announced this. I know California did, and maybe some others that I've missed, but Oregon, Washington State will certainly announce this soon. Connecticut, no doubt. New York, soon. They are announcing that they will not allow the Trump administration to deport illegals out of their states. So that brings up the obvious question. Well, how do you suppose that's going to work? Because Trump is going to activate the military, apparently, to deport or to assist in the deportation of illegals. And believe it or not, I support that concept. I support that concept because, well, we're being invaded. So we're being invaded by foreigners, and it is the job of the military to defend a nation against invasion by foreigners, especially military-aged foreigners who are here to invade, to conquer, to sabotage our country. And that describes many of the illegals. Not all of them. Some of them are just families seeking a better life. That's true. But a great many of them are military-aged males, and they are here to destroy. In any case, all of them came in illegally, and that's not okay. So it is justified for the military to find them and to remove them. To remove them against their will, obviously. Like, hey, guess what? You're being arrested and you're being deported. So, you know, pack a suitcase and come with us. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Now, by the way, in terms of protecting civil liberties, I do not support the military operating domestically against American citizens, because that's a violation of posse comitatus, and that's the wrong role. You do not want the military to engage in domestic police actions against your own citizens. That always goes badly. But to to thwart an invasion. Well, this is the job of the military. So we're going to have the military working to find illegals and deport them. That's a good thing. Now, here's the question. Will Trump declare the illegal migrant invasion to be an invasion, as in an act of war invasion? Will he declare, with whatever proper words or designations or orders are, you know, historically valid, will he declare it to be an invasion or an insurrection of the country or a national emergency? Again, whatever the terminology needs to be. And then those governors and those blue state AGs who are shielding those illegals, well, wouldn't they be guilty of aiding and abetting a foreign enemy that has been designated a foreign enemy by Trump, by President Trump? And thus, wouldn't those officials, like, let's say, Governor Newsom or the AG of California, whoever that is, if they say, well, we're going to protect illegals and we're going to reject any deportation of them. So doesn't that mean that they are now aiding and abetting, they are complicit in the wartime invasion of the United States of America? Doesn't that mean that they are actively engaged in treason against the United States of America? And if they are guilty of treason, then the military has every right to arrest them too. So shouldn't the Trump actually use the military to arrest the governor of California? That is, if Newsom begins to shield illegals, which he has promised to do. See, I think that the governors who do that should be arrested, and they should be charged with treason, and they should be charged in a military court, actually, because they are engaged in an act of war against these United States. And also any AG in any state that is complicit in thwarting the deportation of this illegal invasion, they should be arrested by the military and held for military trials, charged with treason. And every mayor of every city, every sanctuary city that is protecting these illegals should also be arrested, you know, at gunpoint if necessary, because they're treasonous actors. They are complicit in the wartime invasion of the United States of America. Remember, 80,000 Americans were killed in this war last year just from fentanyl alone. That's more Americans than died in the entire Vietnam War. And the fentanyl is being trafficked through the open border and into this country mostly by illegals. And thus, any governor or any AG or any mayor who is on the side of the illegals and actively shielding them is complicit in the 80,000 deaths of the American people. And that's just in 1 year. We are having a Vietnam-level mass casualty event. Actually, it's much larger than Vietnam, but it's every year in America, thanks to these Democrat state shadow governors and mayors and AGs. And DAs in some cases, many of whom just lost their elections, by the way. George Soros is in tears, crying a flood of liberal tears. So my question to you is, would you support this? Would you support Donald Trump activating the military? And, I mean, first he should probably give a warning, like, hey, governors of all the blue states, if you protect illegals, we will arrest you and charge you with treason. Like, he should give them fair warning. And they're going to say, go pound sand, because we don't even recognize you as our president. We have this other shadow president that we have elected or just thrust into power. And it's, you know, it's Pete Buttigieg or whatever. And at that point, would you support Trump just sending in, I don't know, a team of Navy SEALs or whatever it takes, a bunch of federal marshals, you know, just a special operations group, show up at the governor's mansion, say, governor, you're under arrest for treason. You are under arrest. And take him away and take him to a military prison to be held for trial. Would you support that? I know Ivan Raiklin would support that. You know, the Secretary of Retribution. Some people have a problem with that word, retribution. So you could just call him the Secretary of Accountability. I don't know. I'm just going to say we just need national integrity. We need to defend our borders. We are being invaded. Michael Yon will tell you that. I've interviewed Yon many times on this issue, and it's the Democrats, especially Mayorkas, who instigated the organized invasion of this nation by funding and building the invasion camps in Panama, such as Lajas Blancas and San Vicente. Those are two of the camps that I know of. There are a bunch of camps all up and down there, and there are also camps in Costa Rica and some of the other countries, even Mexico, etc. The closer you get to the U.S. border as you're going north, you know, a lot of people start in Ecuador. They fly into Quito, and then they start trekking north, and then, you know, they cross the Darien Gap, and they end up in Panama. It's a long trek, but this is all being organized and funded by Alejandro Mayorkas. Mayorkas is a treasonous actor. Mayorkas needs to be arrested, indicted, and tried for treason. And then if he is found guilty in the military courts, then obviously the courts can dish out whatever is the appropriate punishment for treason in the view of the court. But I believe that any official in America, including state-level officials, I'm talking about governors and mayors and so on, remember, they have taken an oath. They have sworn an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. Now, I believe that at the state level, they swear an oath to defend both the state constitution and the United States Constitution, but I'm not absolutely sure that goes in every state. But I do know that all federal officials, of course, swear an oath to the U.S. Constitution. Well, if you've sworn an oath to the U.S. Constitution, and then you harbor invaders who are invading and causing mass casualties and harming this country and occupying this country, then obviously you are, technically, you are an enemy combatant. And if that designation is used by the Trump administration to say, well, you know, these so-called governors, they have violated their oaths. They are harboring illegals who are carrying out human trafficking, weapons trafficking, drug trafficking, that are harming and killing at least 80,000 Americans a year. Well, these governors, in their complicity and in their actions, they are enemy combatants. We're going to designate them enemy combatants, and we're going to find them, we're going to round them up, and we're going to hold them for trial. Would you support that? I would. I think that's exactly what needs to happen. And that means that you would likely have, in these blue states, you would have governors pull out, let's say, the National Guard at the state level to protect the governor. So you would have the state guard, like a security team at the governor's mansion. And it might be a pretty big security team. They might build a fence around the governor's mansion, turn it into a, you know, like a military compound with all kinds of soldiers stationed outside. And then Trump has to decide, well, how big of a team of Navy SEALs do we send in? And the answer to that is, however many you need. Count the number that are there guarding the governor's mansion and multiply that by about five. Send in that many Navy SEALs, you know? And if they have to fight their way through the defenders of the treasonous governor, well, you know, so be it, right? Because that's, we have to hold these traitors accountable. We have to remove them from power. We have to arrest them and charge them with their crimes of treason and sedition and aiding and abetting the enemy. They have to be, you know, dealt with under the rule of law. There has to be accountability. So if the Trump administration has to fight its way into the ability to make that arrest, then that's exactly what needs to happen. Right? So this is a thought experiment. We're just kind of wondering where this might go. So then you might see, probably you would see some kind of a military alliance among the blue states, especially, let's say, Washington, Oregon, and California. You would see a military alliance there. They would break away from the United States. They would recognize their own shadow president. They would form a military defensive alliance against the Trump administration, which they would declare to be illegitimate. And of course, they would say that, you know, the 2024 election wasn't real and Russia stole it or whatever. They'll come up with some reason. They always do. Or they'll say Trump is disqualified because of the 14th Amendment, whatever it takes. All right, so then what happens? Well, what's interesting about this is that most of the people who live in California and Oregon and Washington oppose the traitors in power there. Yeah, that's interesting. The Democrat stranglehold on California, everybody who lives there knows it's a criminal cabal. Everybody knows that California elections are rigged. And the congressional seats are all rigged. The governorship, it's all rigged. Everybody knows that who lives there. They all know it. And most Californians are sick and tired of living under the tyranny and corruption and fraud and high taxation and high crime and everything else. So if you have, this is interesting, if you have the governor of California and the governor of Oregon and the governor of Washington, if they all declare their independence from the federal government, you know, or from the union of states, then I believe you will have the rural areas of those three states declare their independence from their own states. So most of Oregon, by the way, in terms of landmass, most of Oregon despises the corrupt, fraudulent, criminal liberals in power. Most of Oregon is rural. Most of Washington is rural. Most of California even is rural. And there are plenty of people in California who absolutely would love to break away from the corrupt officials and their insane high taxation agenda. So you would probably see a very rapid movement to form New California or, you know, New Oregon or New Washington or maybe the name Jefferson would come up. It's the new state of Jefferson. And there are, of course, efforts underway for this, and there have been for quite some time. I've interviewed, I think Mr. Preston is one of the people involved in the New California movement that's been gaining steam for quite some time. And by the way, even in Texas, we have a Texit movement, you know, T-E-X-I-T, like to exit the United States. That's probably not going to go anywhere since Trump is in power in D.C. right now. But if Trump had not won the election, Texit would have been gaining a lot of steam right now. Well, in California, Oregon, Washington, probably in Colorado, New Mexico, Illinois, and a bunch of East Coast states, you're going to see an effort to secede, but then you're going to see a lot of resistance among their own people. And this begins to shape up into a scenario that is actually covered in a series of books called 299 Days. I think the author of that is Glenn Tate. I'm going to confirm that while I'm talking here. I think it's Glenn Tate. Yes, here it is. Okay. 299 Days. That book series, apparently that was released in 2012, and it's 10 books. Now, I've listened to the entire audiobook series twice, and I strongly encourage you, if you want to know where this goes, you should listen to this book series. Just understand that the first one or two books are kind of slow. Well, especially the first book. So if you're reading or listening to the first book, and these are available on Amazon and Audible, whatever, if you're listening to the first book, you're like, this is slow and boring. Yeah, I told you it would be. But when you get into books, you know, 3, 4, and 5, and oh my goodness, this book series is amazing. Glenn Tate is practically a prophet. That book series, by the way, is the geographic area that it's written about is Oregon, you know, around Portland in particular. But what that book series depicts is a tyrannical left-wing government setting up extermination death camps, rounding up conservatives, and literally murdering them in the camps while the left-wing tyrants, mostly these power-hungry, crazy women, are just rejoicing over the mass murder of conservatives and Christians. and gun owners, you know. But ultimately, in the book series, the good guys win. They overcome the corrupt, evil government. But the death camps in the book series, the death camps are real, and a lot of people are slaughtered in the death camps before the good guys win. I can actually see this happening in the next year, right here in America. I can see this happening. I can see Newsom and the governors of these blue states declaring their secession, and then local civil wars breaking out between the citizens of those states versus their own government. So you could have the citizens of California going to war against the governor of California or the government of California. No wonder Newsom and California, no wonder they don't want anybody to have real AR-15s in the state, you know, with full capacity magazines, let's say, because they're always afraid of a citizens uprising because they know they're cheating tyrants. The leaders know this about themselves. They know they rigged the elections. They know they launder money. Newsom has stolen billions of dollars out of California taxes. They have smuggled away many, many billions of dollars over the years, really hundreds of billions over the years. And they've used it to buy gold. And I was interviewing a source a few years back, forgot what it was, that was talking about this parking structure that I think is part of the California Capitol Building complex in Sacramento. I think it was there. But it's talking about how these multiple levels of the parking complex, and one of the levels is a secret deep underground level that's filled with ammo and gold. Oh, and armored vehicles and things, like military equipment, is down there. And this source said that he saw it. Now, will all that be, you know, pulled out of there to go to war with their own citizens? Possibly. Possibly. But in this case, you know, Trump may have to deploy the military against the illegitimate, fraudulent, treasonous government of California, if you think about it. If California just declares itself that it's not going to follow any rule of law, it's not going to recognize the Trump administration, it's going to protect invaders, it's going to go to war with America, well, then Trump will have to deploy the military against the government, the illegitimate, treasonous government of California. Remember when Joe Biden, he frequently liked to threaten Americans. He would say that, well, we have F-16s and all you have is AR-15s. It was one of his boastful comments. He would always say, you know, we have F-16s. As if implying that Joe Biden would deploy F-16s against American citizens. But his point was that, you know, the U.S. military can take out any citizen uprising. Well, what would it look like if F-16s were used against treasonous enemy combatants of the former California government? If they were trying to wage war against the United States of America, could we see, you know, F-16s deployed domestically? There was a movie that came out a few months back called Civil War. A pretty interesting movie. The movie supposed that some kind of a coalition of Texas and California working together, which it called the Western States or the Western Coalition, was at war with Washington, D.C., at war with a rogue president. And the movie depicted the president as somebody who had gone rogue or gone lawless or something. Interestingly, the movie wasn't picking any sides. Like, it wasn't picking Democrats or Republicans or conservatives or liberals. It went out of its way to be neutral on that. That's why it combined California and Texas as, I think, the leaders of the Western forces. But in that movie, it showed that a U.S. military fighter jets or bombers were deployed against certain targets in the United States, you know, in CONUS, as they would say. And very often, I think that a lot of these Hollywood movies, they are foreshadowing things that are to come. Because I also think a lot of events in our world are scripted. I think we're living in a Truman Show. So many things are scripted. I think most elections are scripted. I think many elements of wars are scripted. And certainly there are a lot of false flags and mass shootings that are completely scripted. A lot of events, like 9/11, was totally scripted. I'm not saying it wasn't real and it didn't happen. It did happen. The buildings did come down. But they only came down because, well, there were demolition charges placed in them, especially Building 7, which wasn't even hit by an airplane. So, yeah, you're watching a Truman Show. You're watching a movie. And so Hollywood actually uses the movie industry to kind of implant onto your consciousness a foreshadowing of events to come. And I think that that movie, Civil War, also there was another movie that Obama was involved in, and I forgot the name of it. It was like The End of the World or something, but it was a movie where the power grid was gone, and Kevin Bacon was in that movie, I remember, and they were trying to survive. And that was on the East Coast. I think it was, not far from New York City or somewhere on the East Coast. But in that movie, they didn't give you a lot of detail about what had happened, but it was a giant power grid failure, and the comms systems completely failed. But in the Civil War movie, the more recent Civil War movie, power was still working, but there was kinetic warfare between two opposing forces. I think that's a pretty good guess of what may be coming regionally. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be a nationwide civil war, and certainly nothing like, North versus South, because that's not the way the country is even politically aligned. It's politically, the country is mostly urban versus rural right now. But we're not going to see civil war in red states. We're not going to see a war inside the state of Texas. I doubt it. I mean, there might be some uprisings from the lunatics in Austin. It won't take long to put that down, really. Come on. Texas isn't going to put up with that. You're not going to see an uprising in Oklahoma. You're not going to see one tolerated in Missouri or Indiana or the Dakotas or, Florida. No, not going to happen. But the blue states, now, there's something different. You could have a civil war in Colorado, which would be, the illegitimate, fraudulent, liberal government of Colorado, the cheaters of Colorado, basically nullifying their authority by separating from the Trump administration, declaring they do not recognize Trump. And then you could see a small-scale civil war in the state of Colorado, or you could see this in the state of Illinois, or certainly the West Coast states, like I just said. This might even happen in Hawaii, which would bring in all kinds of cultural history there, because the Hawaiian people have wanted to be free for quite a long time, like free from the whole Union, free from the United States and the colonization history of the Hawaiian Islands. So that's a whole different conversation right there. But in the continental United States, you could absolutely see domestic civil war in certain states. And as a result, you could see both citizens trying to fight to stay in the Union while the governments of places like California are fighting to leave the Union. So in other words, the government would be secessionary while the people's resistance would be pro-America or pro-United States or pro-Trump. Let's stay in the Union. And you could see a split there, right? So you could end up with a whole new state, let's call it New California, and then New California could join the Union, and New California would not include Los Angeles, it would not include San Diego, wouldn't even include Sacramento, etc. New California would have new senators, two new senators, right? And also new members of Congress. So the census figures would have to be recalculated, and the whole House of Representatives would have to be recalculated because the numbers, the representation numbers would change. Especially if you get rid of LA and you get rid of San Diego, you get rid of the high density population cities of the West Coast. Guess what? all kinds of political power shifts eastward to the other states, to states like Texas. You would gain congressional seats in Texas. You would gain seats in places like Florida or the Carolinas or Tennessee or what have you. And California, if the west coast of California wants to leave the Union, then, of course, they give up their senators in the U.S. Senate, don't they? They give up their members of Congress in the House of Representatives. They give all that up. They become their own new country. Call it China-fornia or whatever. You know, China-fornia there, or collapse-a-fornia probably, because it would collapse before long. Collapse-a-fornia would have to roll out its own new fake fiat currency, which won't last long. It would be like a, as we say in the crypto communities, excuse my language, but have you heard the expression of a shit coin? Yeah, California would launch its own shit coin, which would not last long, and what it would just collapse into, you know, poverty and destitution and so on. But that would be the collapse of California region. And if they successfully left the Union, which is highly doubtful, but if they did, it would collapse sooner or later, and then eventually they would want to, like the survivors there would want to rejoin the Union, probably. Like, please save us. We'd have to have like food rescue missions to the survivors of the wipeout of collapse-a-fornia, you know? Similar story in Washington and the Seattle area, or Oregon and the Portland area and so on. So my point in all of this is that here we are a little bit less than 10 weeks out from the swearing in of Trump. January 6th is the day that the electoral votes are supposed to be recognized. Kamala Harris, as the current VP, is supposed to authenticate those, you know, confirm them or certify them and hand them over to the House for final certification. And the House is supposed to accept those. And then the swearing in happens on January 20th. Well, between now and January 6th, there's quite a bit of time here, like a month and a half or whatever it is. Quite a bit of time. And or a little over a month and a half. And in that time, some of these things I'm talking about here could actually take shape. There could be secession attempts by certain states or certain segments of certain states. And the video I played for you earlier is the beginning of that process. When they start to announce that they are launching a shadow government, which is what they have now announced, and when they start to announce they're forming their own governorship coalition, they're forming up their own union of states, in essence. They're forming a shadow government. They're forming a parallel government. And they do not intend to recognize Trump as their president. So, to all the citizens listening to this, if you're in the state of California or Oregon or Washington or wherever, Colorado, a lot of great people in Colorado, you know, a lot of rural people living in Durango and places like that, you know, great folks in Colorado. I strongly urge you to consider the possibilities of what I've just presented here. Let us pray that this doesn't happen. We don't want to see, you know, civil war or even regional war. We don't want to see a split of the country here, right? We don't want to see it. We don't want to see America weakened by this. But we also, as a nation, we can't tolerate treason on the part of governors and state AGs and mayors. And that includes sanctuary cities. We cannot tolerate sanctuary cities or sanctuary states harboring illegal aliens and invaders or enemy combatants in a time of war, in a time of our nation being invaded. So those people must be, I'm talking about the governors and so on, they must be arrested. They must be removed from power. And that's going to set off some level of conflict, obviously. So if you're living in these blue states, you may recall that for the last 5 years, I've encouraged everybody to get out of the blue states, you know, but not everybody can for lots of reasons, family, jobs, etc. Maybe you have a really great farm there and you don't want to leave it. I don't blame you. Maybe you want to stay and fight for your state, you know, I get it. I'm not I'm not condemning you for not leaving. You know, it's worth defending your farm, your home, especially if it's been passed down for generations in your family. I totally get it. But I want you to be prepared for the possibility of kinetic warfare carried out by your own state government against you, the people of your state. I want you to be prepared for the possibility of conflict between the United States military and the illegitimate government of your state if they put themselves in that category. You know, if they reject the Constitution and reject the rule of law and reject the effort to deport illegal invaders, then, you know, you should expect there's going to be some kind of conflict in your state. Now, I'm not in any way encouraging citizens to, you know, to, I'm not saying like rise up and, you know, bring your rifles. No. If you listen to what I've just been saying for this entire podcast, I've said this might be a conflict between federal forces versus state forces. And very likely this would be resolved by Trump sending, you know, 500 special forces soldiers, at which point the security team surrounding the governor of California says, we surrender because we don't want to die in a hail of gunfire. And they stand down. They stand down and nobody gets hurt. The governor's arrested. And, you know, we all move forward with our lives. So for the most part, you know, citizens are not going to be like regular civilians. I don't think are going to be part of like fighting or anything like that. What I'm urging you to do is to be prepared for disruptions. Be prepared for, you know, power grid disruptions. Be prepared for communications disruptions. Be prepared for, you know, what happens if your state is in a civil war. Well, you know, probably the grocery stores aren't going to get stocked that well. You know, fuel supplies might run short, right? I mean, we're talking about disruption scenarios here. That's the thing that you need to be, I think, concerned about. And also, by the way, defending your own property. So there is a defensive reason, obviously, to have an AR-15. You know, at least one. You know, I live in Texas. If somebody only has one AR-15, we're like, are you a liberal? What's going on? You'll only have one AR-15. Everybody knows you need different lengths of barrels and different, you need one set up for nighttime work and another one for daytime work, another one for long range, another one for, you know, close quarters battle, QCB. You know, that's four ARs right there. That's just covering the basics. And then you need a 308 AR, obviously, for a little bit longer range. And then you need a 300 Win Mag AR semi-automatic Nemo arms rifle, which I own one of those. And that's when you know you're really a Texan. So that's for the longer range engagements if our country gets invaded by foreign forces or something, you know, and you need to really defend large pieces of land against the invaders. But anyway, it is within your constitutional rights. It's also within your moral rights to be prepared to defend your life, your family, your property, and your country, by the way, which may include, as a subset, your community. You may end up working together with local law enforcement to defend your community, maybe your county. You know, it's appropriate to have firearms and to have ammunition and to be proficient in those and to have a ballistic vest, you know, and to be prepared. We're not talking about instigating any form of violence whatsoever. We're not talking about, you know, running around looking for opportunities to get in trouble. We're talking about defending. Everybody has the right of self-defense. And that extends to the neighborhood level, the community level, the county level, the state level, the country level as well. We don't know what's going to happen in all this. If there's chaos in America, who knows? The narcos might start invading Arizona with the help of China. That's actually a prediction I have. And so the people of Arizona might find themselves actually being overrun by heavily armed narco cartels. And you might be fighting a defensive war, giving up territory until the military arrives, you know, and it turns out the military doesn't have much ammunition left because it was all sent over to Ukraine. So there's not a lot of domestic artillery left, you know, or rounds for tanks or things like that. So you could find yourself literally defending your neighborhood or your state or your county against a foreign invader. So that's a scenario to take seriously and to really think about. And if this is happening, do you think you should own a water filter? Yes. Do you think you should have a go bag? Oh, yes. Should you maybe have a satellite phone? Pretty handy, right? Should you have a flashlight? Oh, yeah. Should you have a solar charger for your flashlight or a solar generator? Makes a lot of sense, right? Backup food supplies, emergency medicine, you know, all these things make a ton of sense. And we're not even talking about World War III scenarios and nuclear exchange with Russia or war in the Middle East, because those are completely different conversations. And, you know, if we end up in a nuclear war, well, we're all screwed. I'm talking about just the attempted secession by blue states as the Democrats try to set up their own shadow government, or parallel government, by rejecting the outcome of this election. Isn't it funny? These are people who claim that they are defending democracy, but they hate democracy. And Kamala wasn't elected. She was just appointed and thrown in there. Right? Well, they despise democracy, but they claim to be defenders of it, which means they will fight like crazy against actual democracy, or better stated, the constitutional republic of these United States of America. So I don't think these United States are going to remain united fully for much longer. And so it's important to be prepared for all of this. So, by the way, I am purchasing some suppressors. I haven't bought suppressors for many years, and it turns out that the ATF wait time on suppressors is really short right now. Some people are getting ATF approval in one day. I remember waiting 1 year for ATF approval before, after you pay the tax stamp, you know? But I bought a bunch of cans years ago that I have on my rifles, you know, as required. If I have to, like, you know, defend an animal at night, I don't want to wake up the neighbors, you know? If I have to, you know, fire away with an AR-15, I'd really like to be polite, not waking up neighbors, because gunfire goes very, very far. You know, I don't have neighbors, like, right next to me, but I don't want to wake them up half a mile away or whatever either, you know? So I try to be polite and have suppressors. But if you want to get suppressors, the brand that I recommend, by the way, is Dead Air. So Dead Air silencers, as people call them, or suppressors. Dead Air is a really great brand. They haven't paid me to say that. That's just, I've got a lot of experience with their suppressors, and I filmed a video a few years ago of frying an egg on one of their suppressors that I had. I put it on the front of actually my Nemo Arms 300 Win Mag semi-auto rifle, and that I fired enough rounds through it to cook an egg on the suppressor. Just demonstrating how hot they get. Like, don't fire off a bunch of rounds and then, like, hey, let's unscrew this thing. Like, zzz, your hand is all completely fried. Not wise. They get hot. Just saying, they do get hot. But they make all rifles easier to shoot, much easier to train with, much more polite. So it's a good time to get suppressors. But speaking on behalf of my own store, healthrangerstore.com/Black Friday, we've got our once a year Black Friday sale event happening right now. It's today and tomorrow. It's continuing this weekend. We've got major specials and sales and special gifts, and they change every 12 hours, by the way. So go to healthrangerstore.com/Black Friday. You can get backup food supplies there. I'm talking about long-term storable, certified organic, lab-tested foods. And these are the same foods that we have shipped to Florida. Oh, and I was corrected. I'd said previously we donated about $100,000 of food to Florida with this last truckload that just arrived Thursday. It's actually $120,000, a little bit over $120,000. So correction there. We've donated more than I thought. But you can buy this right now. And also, we sell iodine. We sell high-end lab-tested nutritional supplements, personal care products. And in terms of survival, we now have the new hatchet that I co-designed with Dawson Knives. And we also have the two new machetes that are called the Outfitters. And these machetes are amazing. Made with MagnaCut, which is a special alloy that resists corrosion. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime purchase. You'll only need to buy this machete once, which it's a good thing because it's not cheap. But if you want to check out the machete and the two machetes and the new hatchet that we have, plus the whole line of Dawson knives, including Escape from L.A., that's the name I gave one of my knives, which has a pry bar on the front of it. And it seems like Escape from L.A. is probably the perfect name for a knife right now, given where we're going. You can find all that at healthrangerstore.com. Just use the search function there and search for, like, you know, knife or escape or machete or whatever. And you can see what we have on special, too, if you go to healthrangerstore.com/Black Friday. All right. So thank you for your support. That's what allows us to make the donations that we've been making, by the way. And we still have some fundraising, some food that we have set aside because of the fundraiser that you help us support that we will be donating out as needed, probably within the next 10 weeks based on the craziness that's probably about to break. I do want to mention gold prices. Gold and silver have been coming down substantially in the last few days, and that's a reflection of confidence in Trump's economy. This confidence, I believe, is this is a short-term euphoria emotion because Trump is actually inheriting a horrible economy. In fact, I think one of the first things that Trump should do in January is release the real government numbers on inflation and job loss and debt and everything, the numbers that Biden refused to release, or they always fudge the numbers, like the CPI numbers. First thing Trump should do is release the real numbers and say, look, the Biden economy was crap. Just FYI to everybody in America, this is what we inherited. Now we're going to try to fix this with Elon Musk and Vivek and whoever else, Ron Paul. We're going to try to fix this, but we do want y'all to know how bad this sucks on day one. That's the first thing Trump should do, in my opinion. Our economy is a wreck right now because of government interference and regulatory interference and debt spending and sending all the money to Israel and Ukraine, more to Ukraine than Israel lately. Just printing money like mad, which is looting the purchasing power of the American people. That's why everything is so expensive. So yeah, the economy is not in good shape. I think that right now for gold and for silver, in my personal opinion, it's a buying opportunity. So I'm buying right now. I'm buying as gold is falling, I'm dollar cost averaging into more gold. So I'm buying a certain amount every week and just having it vaulted so I can access it later if I need to. But that's what I'm doing. I do what's best for you. Do your own research and, you know, take your own risks. I'm not your financial advisor. But think about what's going to happen if we end up in a civil war or in a war with Iran, or if people figure out the economy is a lot worse than what we thought. And it turns out the Federal Reserve is pulling a bunch of bank lending funds now. It's like they're doing a rug pull on the economy to try to make sure that Trump looks really bad with what he inherits in 2025. So I think that this pullback on gold and silver are temporary. And we're going to see gold and silver have another leap forward probably, you know, early next year, if not sooner. But that's just my personal opinion. I'll just let you know what I'm doing. In terms of other preparedness items, by the way, check out rangerdeals.com. And there we list three different forms of gold and silver with the providers there. Plus, we have a provider there that sells ballistic vests. We've got Shield Arms that sells the folding AR-15s and custom Glocks, such as the Glock 43 that I carry. And Shield Arms sells really great replacement magazines for Glocks. In fact, someone who listens to this podcast was asking, how did I customize my Glock? And the answer is, I didn't. Actually, let me grab it here. So let's see. I've got night sights on top. I don't run red dot sights for a very specific reason, but I'm not going to go into that right now. So I've got just like, you know, tritium night sights with a big dot on the front. I've got the stippled hand grip. I've got the stock trigger. But what's special about this Glock is the magazine. It's a metal or steel magazine made by Shield Arms that holds more rounds than the standard Glock magazine. So the only thing special about my Glock is the magazine, really, from shieldarms.com. And if you use discount code Ranger, you save 10%, by the way. So that's what's special about my Glock. It's the magazine. Don't you want to carry an extra two rounds? I do. Those might be the two you really need, you know? It's like, got 16 perps, but only 14 rounds. Oh, okay, what's going to happen here? you never know. So, rangerdeals.com, you can find discounts there. Different forms of gold and silver, like I said. Also, chlorine dioxide, you'll see the link available there. And also, ivermectin for pets, degoogled phones, satellite phones through the satellite phone store, sat123.com, etc. Whatever you think you need, you know, plan to get it before the end of this year. And if you're in a blue state, take extra precautions to be ready for whatever might happen. All right, that's about it. Now, I've got a special report for you today. Not an interview today, but a special report that I recorded yesterday. And it is about how... Well, it asks the question, why hasn't Elon Musk sent men to the moon? And the honest answer to that is because, well, nobody has sent men to the moon. There have never been men on the moon. And there's a very specific physics reason why that is the case. So we've been lied to about a lot of history, but this time that's happening right now, this is the great reveal. Remember my other prediction, the great steal followed by the great reveal? Well, the great reveal is beginning to be underway. And once Trump takes office, he promises to declassify all kinds of stuff. You know, Area 51 stuff, UFOs even, JFK files, maybe 9/11, who knows? But do you realize that if Trump declassifies a bunch of NASA documentation from the late 1960s and the early 1970s, you realize that it will all be shown to be just rife with fraud and fakery and theater? Yeah, it's that bad. It's that fake. You have been lied to more than you know. So enjoy this special report, which talks about that very issue. And I think I'll have an update for you tomorrow, most likely, but we'll see. I will have a sermon for you tomorrow, for sure. I am releasing sermons on Sundays, so I'll have a sermon for you tomorrow. And until then, have a great rest of your day. God bless you all. Take care. All right, great news, folks. After many months of testing and prototyping and back and forth with designs, we now have the Patriot Hatchet with Dawson knives. And this is now available at healthrangerstore.com. This is made with CPM 3V, which is a shatter-resistant, very hard edge alloy that's just absolutely revolutionary. We worked on this design. I made some changes to the blade and the length. Also, this is a little bit longer than what was originally intended because of the leverage factor and the durability of using this as a tool. This is available right now with the G10 handles and the CPM 3V metal alloy, which is revolutionary. Available right now at healthrangerstore.com. Search for Patriot Hatchet, and let me show you on the screen there. Here's a close-up image of what that looks like, and it's available in a couple different colors, handle colors, and it comes with this really amazing carbon fiber sheath that is very versatile, and you can switch it around for different mounting options as well. And this is just one of the survival blades that we have. We've also been working on a design for two new machetes. And let me bring up the first one here. These are called the Outfitter machetes. This is the shorter one. I know it looks pretty hefty right there, but it's a 15 inches overall length. And this is a CPM Magna Cut alloy, which means it's highly corrosion resistant as well. So in addition to a very high Rockwell hardness and shatter resistance, but also the kind of flexibility that gives it resilience. I mean, again, this alloy is revolutionary. You buy this once. Buy nice, you don't have to buy twice. You buy this once in your life. That's the quality of this machete. It's a multi-purpose outdoor machete. We call it the Outfitter machete, and it's available right now at healthrangerstore.com. Just search for Outfitter machete and you'll find these. And again, I co-designed these with Dawson Knives. This is a specific design. Number one, it has serrations for the thumb right here so that you can put a lot of thumb pressure on it as needed. It has a finger guard here. Hold on, see if you see that. There's the finger guard. And the finger guard has a hole in it, along with a hole here on the end, so that if necessary, you can use this. You can tie paracord to it. You can make a handle, or you could even, attach it to other things. You can use it as an emergency, at least, as a pry tool. It doesn't have, you know, a pry bar end. It's got a pointed end, but the shape of this blade is designed for multiple utility use, from hacking small vegetation to also being multi-purpose, even for self-defense or other outdoor use. So this is a very rugged, very durable, corrosion-resistant, outdoor, multiple-use machete. Now, then this is, the next one, is the full-size, here's the full-size machete, which is called the Outfitter Extreme. This is a 20-inch overall blade, also made out of MagnaCut. We have different patterns, different kind of etching of the steel available. In fact, show my screen. Here's one of the pattern designs we have available. There are different designs and different colors of the handle, which is a G10 handle. Again, built for a lifetime, labeled as Health Ranger Survival Gear in conjunction with Dawson Knives. This is an extraordinary survival tool. It's also an outdoor garden tool. This is something that, again, you buy it once, you use it for a lifetime. It's not inexpensive. This is not some, you know, cheap steel or cheap China-made product. This is made in America. These are all crafted in Arizona by third-generation expert craftsmen who know how to make knives and blades and swords. I mean, they know this like nobody else. This is one of the best gifts that you could give somebody, or even a gift that you give yourself. These are tools that will last you a lifetime. So even just the hatchet as a survival item, it has so many uses, including, you know, survival, chopping up firewood or kindling or whatever you need it for, around the ranch or on a camping trip, or a bug out bag for your vehicle or a bug out tool. And you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to just rust away. It's not the handle, it's not cheap plastic that's just going to break away. This is a lifetime tool. So check all of these out at healthrangerstore.com. Understand that, again, the prices that you're going to see on these are not inexpensive. Quality made knives and quality steel, quality handles, quality craftsmanship is not cheap. But we have done our best to keep these prices within reason so that everybody who's serious about preparedness and survival can access these. Now, I also want to show you, we also still have this one, Escape from LA. This is a very popular design that I came up with. This is available on our website as well. It has a pry bar on the end here. Yeah, go ahead and show my screen. It has a reverse bottle cap opener, we call it, but it's actually a hook for hooking steel staples or barbed wire, anything like that. It's got multiple points here where you can tie it to other items, such as a spear stick. It has a flat edge. It can be used, you can hammer on top of it here and actually use it to hammer through things, or you can use it as a rugged pry bar. This is very strong. I call it Escape from LA because it's designed to help you escape an urban environment if you are trapped in a power outage or a war scenario or something like that. That's a very popular item. We have other knives and blades, all co-designed with Dawson Knives, available at healthrangerstore.com. We've got a little bit of a sale on some of them, not much because there's honestly not a lot of margin in these. The cost is just the core cost is very high to get quality materials and quality craftsmanship. There's just no way around it. But if you want to take advantage of these, get them now at healthrangerstore.com and you will thank yourself. You will be able to put these to use immediately and you'll know that you've just bought the hatchet, the machete, or the knife, the only one that you're going to need to buy for a lifetime of use. That's how good these are. So thank you for your support. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, healthrangerstore.com. So I suppose that many people might be ready to hear this message, possibly, because this is all part of the great reveal. And I've been talking about this, that we were going to witness the great steal followed by the great reveal. But the great reveal that's coming, which is why the deep state is just absolutely freaking out, is so much of a larger reveal than what you ever imagined, probably. And it's even larger than what many of you can handle, seriously. This, in fact, just the topic I'm going to cover here today is something that many of you will say, no, that's impossible. I don't believe it. And that's fine, because that's exactly my reaction at first. I thought the exact same thing. But you're about to see history rewritten. You're about to see, human history, like where we came from, who we are, what has happened. Understand that we've been living under a rigged system really since the assassination of JFK. So 1963. Ever since then, the CIA has run America. The CIA has controlled the media, controlled the narratives, and that's why they're absolutely freaking out and shutting down InfoWars and trying to censor like crazy, and that's why they're resisting, Trump's agenda, which has anti-censorship components to it, by the way. It's also why they're freaking out over Matt Gaetz being nominated for AG, because Matt Gaetz will expose a lot of things. And Trump will expose a lot of things through declassification. That's also why the deep state is terrified that Kash Patel might be nominated as FBI director, for example. But what I'm about to say is something that I don't even think any of those people are aware of or would agree with what I'm going to say here. Because we have been brainwashed as Americans. We have been so deeply brainwashed into the mythos of American exceptionalism. We have been told things that are entirely fabricated about America's ingenuity, about America's success, about America's dominance. We've been told this. It is a kind of brainwashing. You know how we say that Zionism is a philosophy of ethnic supremacy? Well, Americanism, you could say, or American exceptionalism, as it's called, is also a kind of philosophy of ethnic supremacy, to say that Americans are just better than everybody else in the world. And Americans are great, don't get me wrong. Americans are very, very creative and can be very innovative and can invent a lot of things, and look, I'm an American. I love my country. Don't get me wrong. And most people would say I'm pretty creative. I've got patents. I'm an inventor. I'm a musician. I'm a songwriter. I'm an article writer. I'm a video, whatever. I think I embody a lot of what America is known for and what America is good at. Americans are really good at thinking outside the box. And that has a lot to do with the ethnic diversity, the background diversity, the creativity factors, all of that. Whereas Asian populations tend to be a lot more conformist. I know this, you know, I lived in Asia. I speak Chinese. I know the Asian culture better than most Americans, for sure. And it's a wonderful culture, by the way. It's just that it's very conformist. Asians rarely break outside the box. Americans love to break outside the box. Germans do not break outside the box. Germans are obedience puppets for the most part, right? And the Brits, oh my God, the Brits are the most obedient of all. But Americans rejected all that, you know, 1776, everything. So Americans, a lot of great things about Americans, and I love being an American. I wouldn't want to be any other nationality. But we've been lied to about a lot of things that have told us that America is the best country in the world and only America can do these things. So that's the preface here. Let me now get to the point of this. Now brace yourself psychologically because, well, let me just lay it out. After years of study, I've come to the conclusion, and now there's no question whatsoever. And if you look into this, if you really dig into it, I have no doubt you will come to the same conclusion. Here it is. No human being has ever walked on the moon. So the Apollo missions, even though they did send astronauts into orbit, you know, I don't promote the flat Earth theory, by the way. Earth is a sphere. We can send all kinds of things into orbit. Satellites are real. The International Space Station is real. You know, we've sent lots of people into orbit, and occasionally we bring them back too. Imagine. But we have never sent a human being to the moon. Why is that? Well, because once you get outside of Earth's magnetosphere protection, you end up going through this massive belt of radiation that would kill any human being if they're not shielded with heavy lead shielding. So you could try to send a human being to the moon. It's just that they would die along the way. Now, since you can't launch heavy lead shielding because it's too damn heavy, and you know, the lunar lander and the command modules and all the stuff that was associated with Apollo missions, it was all super lightweight stuff. It was made out of like gold foil, you know, almost aluminum foil. Some of it was so thin, it was a joke. It was, if you look at some of the photos today, you're like, was this a Saturday Night Live skit? What is this? They did not launch Apollo spacecraft with lead shielding. Okay, so no man has ever walked on the moon. Yes, humanity has sent probes to the moon, and China has sent spacecraft to fly around the dark side of the moon, and so on. But ask yourself this question. If we were supposed to have landed on the moon in the 1960s, you know, here we are more than 50 years later, how come we've never sent a man to the moon again? And, importantly, how come Russia never sent a man to the moon? How come China never sent a man to the moon? And you know why? Because Russia and China know that the Apollo missions were faked and that you can't send a man to the moon if you want them to be alive when they get there, for the reason that I just previously mentioned. So what actually happened with NASA and the Apollo missions is that it was a psyop. It was a massive propaganda campaign to try to convince the Russians, the Soviet Union at the time, to try to intimidate them into thinking that we had such amazing technology that they better not threaten us in the Cold War, or what became known as the Cold War. It was also propaganda to the American people to say, hey, we're the best in the world. We can send a man to the moon and we can bring him back. And, you know, and we'll do it all in 1 week, you know, that kind of thing. It was all a lie. And so in order to fake it, and by the way, at this point, the lies are just obvious. Based on just crowdsourcing the NASA photos, the NASA videos, the audio, from NASA, etc. Today, the internet crowdsourcing this knows that the whole thing was faked. Bart Sabrell is probably the top expert on this, S-I-B-R-E-L, Sabrell. His website, Sabrell.com, exposes this. I've interviewed Bart Sabrell numerous times. And at first, admittedly, the first time I interviewed Bart Sabrell, I did not believe what he had to say. I thought, I don't believe this, but I'm willing to listen, because that's my attitude about everything. But by the, I don't know, third or fourth time I interviewed Bart, it was like, wait a second. He's actually right. Like, for example, at certain points in the NASA audio recordings where there's supposed to be a delay, I think it's supposed to be like a 6-second delay between Houston and orbiting the moon because of the distance and the speed of, you know, electromagnetism. But at one point, the astronauts forget to put in the delay and they speak too soon. And then NASA reminds them, and like, don't speak too soon. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but and then after that, they put in the delay. So they're faking the delay because they weren't at the moon. They were in orbit. And then there's the video that shows that they were faking it halfway to the moon. And that video is so laughable. It's a video that was broadcast to the whole world. And it was a video where they were supposed to be in the, I don't know what you call it, the capsule, I guess. You know, the final stage that's traveling to the moon. And they had a window. And this was in the day of very low resolution cameras, by the way, and like really crappy transmission of television. And so if you looked, what you saw was a really dark module overall. I mean, relatively dark. And you thought you saw in the window Earth in the distance, a small ball of Earth in the distance. Wow, there's the blue planet in the distance. And the astronauts referred to it. They said, look how far away we are. You know, there's the Earth in the distance. We're halfway to the moon, they said. And then after the interview, they kept recording. And some folks got a hold of that recording years later, including Bart Sabrell. And what you find out in the recording is that after they were done with the propaganda piece, they reached over to the window and they pulled off this giant piece of cardboard where they had cut a hole in the center of it. That hole was what you were seeing when you thought you were looking at the Earth in the distance. It was just a hole in the cardboard. And when they took the cardboard off the window, you could actually see the Earth really, really close. They were just in orbit. So totally exposed for their lies, complete fabrication. Again, worse than an SNL skit. That's how bad it was. And yet, most Americans to this day think that we landed people on the moon. And their memories are all jacked up about this. They will say, well, I remember the space shuttle launching astronauts to the moon. And you're like, no, not even NASA claims that the space shuttle took astronauts to the moon. Those were the Apollo missions. That's before the space shuttle. And like, oh, okay, yeah. Space shuttle just went into orbit. The space shuttle never went to the moon, folks. Not even NASA says that. And then people say, well, I saw Neil Armstrong or Buzz Aldrin or whatever. I saw these astronauts. I saw them walking off a ladder onto the moon. I saw a video of that. He was the first man to step on the moon. And then you ask, well, who was on the moon with the video camera to take the video? And they're like, whoa, huh. So somebody must have already been there to take the video, right? And then people say, well, but I saw the video of the, again, I forgot the exact name, was it like the lunar lander? I saw the lunar lander taking off from the moon. I saw that video. And, you know, it had the fire from the jets and it shot up into the atmosphere, well, not atmosphere, but into the sky of the moon. And I remember seeing the camera like panning up and following it as it launched off the surface of the moon. And then you ask them, like, yeah, so when did they go back for the cameraman? And like, oh, huh. Yeah, who was taking the video? And then they have all these crazy things. Well, it was a remote camera. Well, no, the technology didn't exist then. And how did the camera pan up? And with the delay between Earth and Moon, you couldn't remotely control it from Houston. So somebody had to be there taking the video. Well, that guy got left behind then. And there are numerous, numerous other problems, such as the angles of light and shadows. And Bart Sobrell points these out, but also the fact that if you're in outer space or if you're on the surface of the moon, you know, the sun is blazing crazy hot on the side that's facing the sun. You know, you're boiling. And then on the dark side where there's no sun, you're freezing. And you know, it's close to absolute zero. And you have questions like, well, wait a minute. How did this lunar lander, how did it dissipate the heat? Or how did it handle the extreme cold and the thermal expansion and contraction between the hot and the cold? How did the astronauts not die from being set on fire or sublimated, like their blood sublimates into outer space? Like, well, they wore spacesuits, and the spacesuits were super advanced spacesuits. And you realize the spacesuits actually couldn't have handled those extreme temperatures, certainly not the blazing sun. And the lunar lander couldn't handle that either. But most importantly, how are they even alive because of the radiation? And then, again, back to the original question, why hasn't China landed somebody on the moon? And how about this? Why hasn't Elon Musk put a man on the moon? Elon Musk has all this advanced rocket technology. Here we are over 50 years later. Elon Musk can launch a rocket into orbit and bring it back and have it land itself and get captured by two steel arms, you know, and it's all super advanced. So why hasn't Elon Musk put a man on the moon? Huh? I mean, he talks about going to Mars all the time. Why hasn't anybody gone to the moon? And the more you look at this, the more the answer becomes obvious, because nobody ever went to the moon. It was all staged. It was all as fake as the 2020 election. It was as fake as the official narrative behind 9/11. It was as fake as Building 7. It was as fake as the Oklahoma City bombing of the FBI building. It was as fake as the ATF justification for the assault on Waco, Texas. And then you realize, my God, we've been lied to for decades. And yes, that's my point. You've been lied to about so many things. You've been lied to about history. You've been lied to about current events. You've been lied to about even, you know, historical events. You've been lied to about the true numbers of the Holocaust. You've been lied to about the origins of Israel. You've been lied to about the Bible. It's been rewritten. Books have been dropped. They've been hidden. Some of them have been recovered. You've been lied to about the origins of mankind. You've been lied to about ancient civilizations, but mostly they've been covered up. And the fact that human civilization has already been destroyed at least once, if not several times, before this civilization. You are living in a Truman Show. You are living in a faked reality. You're living in a projection of theater. And the turning point was the assassination of JFK. That's when the theater really took over. And ever since then, what you've been fed in terms of history and events and 9/11 and all of it, even, you know, the war, the Desert Storm, the war on terror, and all of this, it's all been fake. Nothing but lies. Now, the flat earthers would say, yes, but you haven't gone far enough, Mike. They would say, the big lie, they would say, is that the earth is flat, like, and we're living under a dome. I think that's a psyop, by the way, because it's very clear to me that we've put a lot of things into orbit, such as satellites and, you know, space stations and men and so on. And that's not difficult to do because you have the protection of the magnetosphere there. So, yeah, you can put things into orbit. Just takes a lot of fuel and some telemetry, by the way. You can put things in orbit. You can't send men to the moon. You can send probes to the moon. You can send probes to Mars. You can send probes all to the outer limits of the solar system, as has been done. But you can't send men out there because they will die from the radiation. So what else are you being lied to about? This is the question that we all need to be asking. You're being lied to about climate change. There is a terraforming operation underway to alter Earth's atmosphere, and the excuse is climate change. They say carbon dioxide is bad, even though carbon dioxide is the single most important molecule in Earth's atmosphere for growing plants. Plants produce oxygen. So there's a terraforming operation on planet Earth to alter its atmosphere and make it inhospitable to current plant life, which means also to human life. So there is an extraterrestrial agenda to make Earth uninhabitable by human beings. That brings up some questions, right? So you're being lied to about that. So who's pushing climate change? Well, it's an intelligence that wants all humans gone from the planet. Who pushed the weaponized vaccine jabs? Somebody that wants to exterminate humanity. Who built self-replicating vaccines? And by the way, the whole history of medicine is a giant lie. The whole history, the germ theory, the vaccines, and the idea that vaccines are safe and effective, you know, SV40s in the vaccines, polio is in the vaccines, the polio viruses are in the polio vaccines, cancer viruses are in the vaccines. It goes on and on. You've been lied to at every level. Now, I think a lot of human beings are ready for this because there is a great awakening that is just beginning to happen. There's a quantum leap of consciousness that's about to take place, and it has everything to do with light and the sun. It has everything to do with the quantum multiverse realities that you can tap into with your non-physical mind. It has everything to do with consciousness. And humanity is about to be lifted beyond the enslavement of the Truman Show, the enslavement of the lies of history. You've been reading from a script this entire time, and now it's time to tear up that script, throw it away, and engineer our own future, a future without all these limitations that we've been fed so far, all these lies that says, oh, there's no such thing as precognition. There's no such thing as remote viewing. There's no such thing as consciousness. There's no such thing as God. You know, this is a time for great changes. But in order to get to those great changes, we have to realize and reject the lies. So the lies are being exposed. Prepare for great changes ahead. The reality of the cosmos in which we live is far more interesting than what you have ever imagined. And once you can, you know, pull back the curtain and see the Wizard of Oz, and he's just been pulling these levers, you will come to your senses and realize, my God, it's time for humanity to stop being held back. So welcome to our future. It's going to be really amazing. It won't be without chaos, by the way, or strife, but it's going to be amazing. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. You can hear more from me at Brighteon.com. And check out Bart Sabrell's website, Sabrell.com, S-I-B-R-E-L, Sabrell.com. And we'll have him back as another guest in the future. And then ask yourself, why hasn't Elon Musk sent a man to the moon? Seems like it would be easy today, right? I wonder why. All right. Take care, everybody.